You're listening to Woo Woo 111.1, where we will discuss our favorite holistic practices for mental wellness, like yoga, meditation, crystals, tapping, energy healing, and everything in between. We are your hosts. I'm Laura Lee, aka LL.
I am Tabitha, aka Tabby.
We hope you enjoy. The Woo Woo 111.1 podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Laura Lee.
I'm Tabitha. And,
Tabitha, my co-host. So today we decided that I was going to share the story about my health. I know we normally talk about mental health on our podcast, but this kind of is more to do with my physical health, but also how it could have affected my mental health if I wasn't more prepared. Mm-hmm. So this is episode 5. We're going to call this LL's health story. So you can jump in, Tabitha, whenever you want, and I'll just kind of go back to the beginning. So we're recording this November, what's the date today? 14th, I think. November 14th, 2021. 14th. And my story goes back to March 15th, 2020. A few days prior to this, it's kind of when I and where I live realized what was happening kind of around the world. And I remember going to bed on Sunday night, which was March 15th, and my throat was feeling a little off. And the next one morning I woke up and I had the worst sore throat ever in my life. And as the day progressed, I got more and more ill. And at the time, because everything with the pandemic was so new, we in Canada were not allowed to get tested for COVID unless if you were either out of the country in one of the countries at the time that they deemed was one of the areas that was affected, or you were a healthcare worker and was sick and needed to be tested. So for the first 2 months. So it's between 6 and 8 weeks. I was really ill and I had every symptom under the sun. And they were all at the time that they were just, coming out with what all the symptoms of COVID were. And I had the majority of those symptoms. So for someone who didn't have a doctor anymore, my doctor had retired a few months prior to that. So going to the doctor, my doctor was out of the question. And then I found out that some of the walk-in clinics just decided to close altogether. They weren't accepting people in person at all. They were completely shut to the public, which I found very strange.
Is it weird?
An oath that doctors will, help anybody, but during a pandemic, let me tell you, you couldn't get any sort of medical treatment at all. So I'm sure they have this everywhere where they have, it's called Health Links here, a phone number that you can call and speak to a nurse. And for the first maybe 2 weeks that I was sick, you couldn't even get through on that number, never mind trying to call a walk-in, it was just impossible. Mm-hmm. By the time I was able to get a hold of somebody at HealthLinks, they have kind of somebody trained to ask a few questions, and then depending on how you answer those questions, then if they deem it, they'll put you right through to a nurse and they'll do a more thorough question game. And every time I called and they would ask me some of my symptoms, they were like, okay, we're putting you through to a nurse right away, you need to talk to a nurse. And I'm like, okay, great, so I'm gonna get some help here. And no, that wasn't the case. So I immediately would talk to a nurse, they'd ask some more questions, and then their next line would be, you need to see a doctor immediately, you need medical attention. I'm like, I know that it is impossible, nobody will see me because of the symptoms. And they kept telling me to try every walk-in clinic, there's bound to be one that's gonna let you come in. And they said, like, what they will do is they'll arrange for you to come in when there's no other patients in the office. So I can literally just walk in with my mask and whatever gloves and go straight into a room to see a doctor. But every place I called, nobody would do that for me. So I struggled for 2 months living alone on top of it. So I had nobody to get anything I needed. I lived in a condo and I was just worried about even being in the building because I didn't know if I had COVID or not. And so, yeah, for like 2 months, I didn't even leave my place. And so I had food delivered, where, you know, just leave it outside and like no contact kind of thing. So yeah, it was a very, very strange time. And every time, you know, another week would go by, I would get different symptoms. And again, they were all still symptoms. So by the time I was able to get tested, it was almost 8 weeks later. And when I did get tested, it came back as the results were negative for COVID. And I was so confused because every nurse that I spoke to said, like on the phone, like, yeah, it sounds like you have COVID. But I wasn't allowed to get tested. So by the time they made it available, the test available for anybody to get tested, then that's when I went and got tested. But it was too late. And I kept waiting for the specialist or whatever to say, like, well, how long does COVID actually last? Because at that point, it was like 8 weeks that I've been dealing with this. And everybody kept saying, well, if you have it, you're only contagious for 14 days. Once the 14 days, you're fine, you're clear, everything's good. And I'm like, well, I see no proof of that, because if this is what I have, then I'm still sick, like two months later. And the only thing I could do was have these video appointments with different doctors. And it was through, and I don't know if this is Canada wide, but in BC, we have TELUS, which is one of like the service providers for internet and phone and cable and all that. And they created a health app. And so you can go on this app, request to make an appointment with a doctor, and then you have a video chat, just kind of like we're doing on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And every time I must have spoken to over 10 different doctors, all in the area, but nobody in the province, but not on the island where I live. And they were all just coming up with different guesses as to what it could be. And someone said, yeah, well, it could be COVID. I'm like, well, how long does COVID last? And they're like, oh, well, you know, it only lasts for this amount of time. I'm like, okay, well, I'm well past that. And so then it was a guess that maybe I got that, and because my immune system was down, then I got another virus, and that's what extended it. And then again, then maybe you got another virus. Because I'm like, well, how long does a virus last? And they're like, I think it was 6 weeks. And by, you know, the end of it, you know, I was at my 16th week or whatever it was. And so they're just coming up with guesses. Ooh. And they were, a lot of them, I just knew, I know my body well enough to know, like, that's not it. And so one thing that they were, a bunch of them were trying to convince me was that I had acid reflux. And acid reflux, so what I didn't mention is one of the remaining symptoms that I still have to this day is a lump in my throat. And there were many doctors that were telling me that it was a phantom lump and that I was imagining this lump. Where literally I have video proof because I'm on camera all the time for my job. And when I'm editing the videos, I can see how much I struggle to swallow. And it's not painful at all. Like after the sore throat ran its course, and that was months that I had a sore throat, but it's never been painful since the sore throat ended, but I struggle with it. I really struggle to swallow sometimes, and I can feel that I'm struggling through like a lump in my throat. So yeah. I had a bunch of doctors trying to tell me that this was acid reflux, which can cause, because of the acidity that's kind of happening in your body when you're dealing with that, it can cause like a burning sensation into your throat that can feel like a lump sometimes. But I have both a stepmother and a stepbrother that suffer with acid reflux, and I've seen how they physically act when they're having an episode, and I have never had any of that ever in my life. So I knew that it was not an acid reflux thing, also known as GERD, G-E-R-D. So I knew it wasn't that. And they kept trying, oh, no, it's probably this. And I'm like, no, I've never had any problems ever with acid reflux. Like, I'm telling you, I know my body is not it. So then other doctors trying to convince me that I'm imagining this lump in my throat. But this went on. So mid-March until throughout the entire last year, and I would start to feel a little bit better, and then boom, I would get hit with a whole bunch of other symptoms again, or symptoms that had gone away were now coming back. And then I remember it happening again in September, and then I think in December, something like that, at the end of the year. And by the end of that year, I was so beyond frustrated with our health system. And, you know, yes, given the fact that it's a pandemic and people are trying to figure shit out at the time, but as somebody who was seeking medical attention and was just not getting what I needed, it was very frustrating. And so many times I was ready to give up. I'm like, fine, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, I'm just imagining this lump in my throat, like, fine. And I was ready to just call it quits. I'm like, that's it. I'm not going to try to see a doctor anymore. Nobody will see me. Like, these phone conversations, because they can't actually physically check me out and see if I had a fever. I had a fever for weeks at a time too. That was why the medical staff that I did talk to kept telling me that I needed to see a doctor. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying, but it's not happening. They won't let me. So I, one of the last doctors that I spoke to at the end of last year, I had to beg to be sent to see a specialist. And thankfully, I knew enough about what I was dealing with that I requested to see an ENT, an ear, nose, throat specialist. So I was having this lump in my throat, and I was also having dizzy spells. And to me, it seemed like they were connected somehow, because they started at the beginning together. And then those were the two remaining symptoms that lasted up until now the end of 2021. And I was able to get a referral to see the specialist, but because seeing the specialist always takes a long time, I didn't get to see him until April of this year. And so in April, I finally got confirmation that there is, in fact, a lump in my throat. And most people would probably not be happy about hearing that, but I was, because I finally felt like I've been validated. Somebody's actually taking me seriously for once. So in April, it was confirmed that I have, a lump in my throat, had no clue what it is, but him being a specialist and also one of the few doctors on the island that actually deal with COVID patients, so he has a better understanding of everything. And so he says, I don't know what it is, but when you have an illness like you did last year, it is possible that you can develop this lump in your throat. So I had to go for a whole bunch of tests that I wasn't allowed to last year. And I finally got those done. So in June, I had a CT scan so they could see the size of the lump. And then as we're waiting for them to schedule the biopsy, I had to go for a whole bunch of heart tests. So I had to wear a 24-hour Holter monitor a couple times. I had to wear it the second time because they lost the results of the first one. So just add to my misery and no faith in our healthcare. That happened on top of it. So then I had to go for another one. And then I had to go for a stress test at the hospital and run on a treadmill. And then I had to be referred. Actually, the stress test was requested by an internal medicine doctor that I was also referred to make sure that my heart was all good to go for my biopsy. So I had my biopsy a couple weeks ago. I don't even remember the date, the end of October, last week of October. And good news is the results are benign, which is what I assumed, because I just didn't think it was anything, you know, like cancer or anything like that. So that's the good news, but I still don't know what is. So I actually have this week an appointment with the surgeon, so he's gonna let me know what it is exactly, and then hoping that I'll be able to go for surgery and just get whatever it is removed, because obviously it's not supposed to be there and it's still affecting my swallowing. But yeah, and so I just thought that it would be good to share this story. Because yeah, like last year, at the end of the year, after dealing with it for so long and just not getting anything, not getting any treatment, not getting any help medically at all, I was beyond frustrated, and I very well could have, like, you know, dug myself into like this, you know, depressive hole and not been able to get out of it. But everybody, you know, thankfully my family kept encouraging me, no, you got to just keep trying. You got to keep talking to different doctors until one finally takes you seriously. And so I didn't think it was going to take more than a year for that to happen, but did. By the time I saw the specialist in April, I had already been dealing with it for over 13 months at that time.
Well, on a side note, like here in Canada, our healthcare system, so like I have some friends that are in the US, so it's a little different because at least my friend who lives in California, when she has to go see a specialist, she can get a referral, yes, but she actually calls them to set up the appointment, you know, whereas here in Canada, it's if you have to go see a specialist, the referral from your doctor or whoever the referring doctor is goes to specialist and they call you to set up the appointment. But that appointment, because there's such a high demand, you know, for them, it can take months. And I mean, I'm just on a quick side thing, like same thing with me with my leg procedure surgeries, because when I went to the vascular surgeon, he had told me that the wait time for this surgery was 9 to 12 months before you could even go in to get it.
And I was expecting it to take a long time before I even got any, before I saw the specialist. So I can't remember exactly when. I feel like it was either in September or when I got sick again in December last year that I demanded basically to be referred to a specialist. So saw him in April. So yeah, it still took a while, but it was much quicker than I expected it to be. I expected it to take way longer because so many surgeries and everything got canceled altogether last year. So they're backlogged.
Yeah.
So I'm quite grateful that happened in April. And then I finally now, as of a few weeks ago, had my biopsy because I kept saying to everybody, I'm like, I'm not expecting to know anything until 2022 because of how everything had dragged out already at that point. So yeah, I was wrong about that. At least I know now that the lump is benign. What it is, it's still a mystery, but hopefully we'll be finding that out this week. But I wanted to share this story because even though it was about my physical health, it's still really tied into my mental health. It could have, and I just knew, like, okay, you know, don't let it get to you. And so many people, when I told them that I was finally going for the biopsy, were like, oh, are you scared? Are you nervous? And I'm like, no, like, I know how to not do that. This is what I train people, what I teach people to do. So even when I went in for the surgery, I remember the surgeon and all the nurses saying, like, are you nervous? I'm like, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a meditation teacher. Like, no, I'm good. Just put me under. I'm just going to like meditate and manifest good results. And that's what happened.
You know what? I was just thinking about it. I didn't even ask you that at all. To think of it.
And I have a hospital phobia, and I've had a hospital phobia since I was a little girl. When my grandmother was in the hospital a lot, we would go visit her. And I think what it stems from is she was on what I used to call the old the old people floor. I was little and I would go there, all these, now I know that they probably had Alzheimer's or something like that, and so they would see me and think that I was their daughter or their granddaughter. So all these strangers were talking to me like I was their own family, and it freaked me out. And I think that's kind of where it stems from. So for the first time ever in my life, because of all these tests that I had to go to this year, I had to go to the hospital quite a bit. And I guess it helps, like they say, do what you fear and to help you get over it. So by the time I went for the biopsy, like I was so calm, and everybody was texting me that day, like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I've never been more calm in my life. I'm just like so grateful that this is actually happening after waiting so long. But I wanted to share the story because if you're struggling with anything, whether it's your physical health, your mental health, that you're not getting the support that you need, this, I'm sharing my story to tell you, keep seeking help. Keep getting different opinions, and you know your body more than anybody else does. So if somebody's telling you something and that doesn't ring true for you, then it probably isn't, and it's not the correct diagnosis. And if you need to keep fighting for it, keep fighting for it, because
like the best advocate is for yourself is yourself. You know, just because we, like you and I, focus a lot on holistic, you know, approaches for mental health and wellness, everything ties in together. So, and another example of it is, even when I had my procedure last year, I remember, Laura Lee, after I went for it, and I was telling you, like, probably a good 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, like, I had said to you, like, I'm having such a hard time, like, just getting back into the routine of things, because, you know, I felt like, I wanted to do it, but a part of me also was, like, really being challenged with, you know, doing the normal routines that I would do, like the tapping and the meditation and, you know, the journaling. And even though those are things that help me when, like, mentally when I'm upset or anything like that, I was finding it very difficult to get back into it, which then I think I told you kind of created like a spiral for me, because I was like really being like, I was just really challenged with it. And you know, that's one of the reasons why when you know, Elle came to me and said, like, hey, I wanted to do it, can we talk about, you know, my health journey on the podcast? I was like, yeah, hands down, because even though we deal primarily, or not deal, but even though we talk a lot about mental health, all those different things factor into your mental health, and everybody sorts through it in different ways. So for me, wasn't always the greatest after the first procedure, but this year I was much better, you know, after the second one. But yeah, like, I just wanted to point that out, because even though I was going for a physical thing, for me, it sort of had that opposite of, like, it definitely was more challenging for me to get into the normal routines that I did and not have it affect my mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's so important, because like last year I could have just curled up in a ball and just ignored everybody, and like, that's it, I give up, like, no, nobody wants to take me seriously. But because of everybody's encouragement, I'm like, okay, I'll try to make another doctor's appointment with another doctor online and have them tell me some made up guess as to what's going on. But yeah, no, I kept at it because for my family, for their sake, more so than anybody else's. But and because my family isn't, well, I have some extended family here, but everybody else is back home. So they can be here, they could, you know, be with me, see me and all that sort of stuff. So they were even more concerned. But yeah, I'm glad that I kept being my own advocate, because nobody else was going to do it for me. So yeah, I encourage you to seek. Seek help wherever you can and try something different. Like, I even tried, I'm like, okay, well, you know, our medical society isn't helping me, maybe I'll do something more natural. But because, and so I did talk to a naturopath, but I knew, I'm like, they're not the ones that are going to be doing the surgery, like, I'm gonna this has to be looked at, and they're not gonna be able to do that. So I had to go with the route that I did, and it just took a hell of a long time, but finally got some answers.
I was going to ask you, aside from, you know, the encouragement from your friends and family that kind of kept you going, what would you say is the biggest thing that from your normal holistic approaches that really aided in you continuing to, like, you know, stay strong and not let it affect your mental health as much?
Yeah. So, well, last year, and I knew, so when the pandemic hit, I got laid off from 2 of my jobs. So one of the jobs is that I lead hiking groups and teach yoga classes for the Parks and Rec Department And that all got canceled that same day, actually, that I got sick, like the morning that I woke up and I was sick. I was contacting them, say like, hey, I'm not feeling well, I'm canceling classes. Well, later on that afternoon, the whole city shut down. Nothing, those studios were allowed to open. And I had no idea that was about to happen. And I thought, okay, I'm just getting a cold. Like, you know, I'll be good in a week, but nope, that's not what happened. And I lost my other job, which I was working in an office for a few days a week. And so I just had all this time now alone, being sick by myself. And I just intuitively knew. And I'm like, I need to start a meditation practice. And that was one thing I had been lacking in my life for years. And it really started last year with the pandemic. And I mentioned this before in another one, I probably during the self-care series that I did recently, that I always felt bad as a yoga teacher. Like, here I am a yoga teacher and I do a meditation at the end of all of my classes, but I just never felt like I was a good meditator. And so I knew that that was going to be key to keeping me sane. And that's when my whole daily ritual started was during that time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start meditating every day and I'm going to start tapping every day. And that's what I did to help me through that, because I knew if without it, because my things was going for hikes. Like, if I'm really stressed out and overwhelmed, I like to go for a hike. Well, I was, like I said, I was terrified to go anywhere because I didn't know for that longest time if I had COVID or not. So I didn't even leave the house for 2 full months, like, or more probably. So it was very important to me. Like, okay, this is something that I'm stuck in this condo by myself and I'm sick. And I know where I can go, because I've been depressed for the majority of my life. And I could have gone that way. And I'm like, nope, I don't want to do it. I know the things that I can do that's going to help me through that. And that's what I'm going to focus on. And that's what I did.
I thought I was just, like I said, I thought it'd be, I was curious. That's why I asked.
Good question.
One thing in particular, you know, that kind of kept you going. And meditation is huge. And I don't do it as frequently as I would like to, even though I do meditate, you know, I teach meditation and stuff. But I mean, I still do it to some degree, but I would like to do it longer. But it's hard, especially right now. With kids and stuff, it gets challenging at times. And I know, like, my days are kind of long to begin with, but it's so important. I'm really glad that you had that, and that you know it really helped you, because, like I said, not, especially for people that have dealt with mental health challenges and struggles, I think, for like a good chunk of their life, it is very easy to fall back into that, especially during a pandemic and not being able to see family or friends or leave your apartment in your case, you know. Or even, you know, in dealing with health stuff just in general. So it's that's amazing. I'm so happy.
Thank you. Yeah, because it could have been a whole different year last year. I knew, I'm like, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be depressed. And I'm sure people thought that I probably was, but I mentally was doing really well. But because of the practices that I did, it was physically that I wasn't doing so well. I just had to keep fighting for me. And that's what I ended up doing. And I'm happy that I was able to do it, because it was an incredibly odd time for everybody anywhere in the world. It was so odd, but the majority of people that I know, nobody lives alone. Like, I was one of the few people that, you know, I knew that lived alone. And so everybody kept like, are you okay? Like, you live alone. I'm like, I manage you quite well, surprisingly, but only because of the practices that I made sure that I did. And also on top of that, is like I said, like I struggled with meditating my for myself. And I'm like, I need to find a way that it's going to work for me. And that's when I added tapping to my morning ritual. And
that does help a lot.
It does, because it gives you something positive to focus on. And it gives you something to focus on, so your brain's not thinking all those stupid thoughts that it likes to think. And that's what started. That's how my whole manifestation ritual got started. It was all of those combined everything together into one thing, so I could get it done. And like first thing in that morning, I would spend, you know, my up to like 30 minutes doing my meditation manifestation ritual, and then spending another 20 to 30 minutes doing my own yoga practice, where, you know, it was just for me. I wasn't teaching. It was just for my own day. And that's just what I chose to do because I had the time to spend the hour every day. But yeah, I still have my morning ritual. I'm still doing that. I'm still keeping it up because it just made
it's important for the sure. world different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are plenty of times where I do if I wake up at 5 and when my husband goes to work, I'll sometimes do that stuff in the morning, so I don't do it on the way to work. But I will say, like, probably 95% of the time I do all of my stuff on the way to work, other than maybe like the journaling. But obviously, you know, I might do that briefly in the morning or just verbally kind of journal. But what I was gonna say too was, so like I had mentioned a little bit earlier, for me, I struggled a little bit after my procedure, but I went back, and the tip that I guess I'm just throwing out there to anybody dealing with that sort of stuff is always go back to basics. And when I was struggling to get back into everything, I went back to the basics. I went back to the very first thing that I did when I first started everything, which is just waking up and saying, you know, thank you for waking me up today to serve my life's purpose and live life to its fullest. And I wrote only 1 to 3 things out for that I was grateful for that day, where I said them. And that kind of got me out of it too. So, and because like you, I didn't want to go back there, you know, but
scary place to be. And when you've been there, you know how bad it can get for you, right? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
So hard to get myself where I am now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to let a pandemic and being ill with an unknown whatever during
I know.
Pandemic alone. I'm not going to let it get to me. So
I know.
Yeah.
And we just really think it's important to be as transparent as possible with you guys, because, you know, like, we're human and we can all learn from each other and connect with each other and help each other. And sometimes we may not have, you know, an episode that goes up every week, or there might be a delay because we're taking a bit of a hiatus, and, or, you know, whatever the case may be, even just for our own personal business stuff, right? Like, sometimes things come up and you can't follow through on that, but we want it to be as transparent as possible, because we think it's important. So that way you guys know, A, like, you're not alone. Everybody struggles with this stuff. And it does take, you know, it does affect everybody differently, which is a clear example. Like, you handled everything very well. I didn't necessarily handle things that great, but, you know, that we both at the end of the day overcame it and just stayed positive and got back to our normal things that make us feel good. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting because, well, and sorry, what I was saying was, and I want to be transparent because, like, I'm going to be moving in a few months, which is crazy. You're moving like the next
year.
And then just recently, even for myself, like Laura Lee knows, you know, I've had some things come up for me personally too with health stuff now. More stuff. So, you know, it's it happens, but you know, yeah. So we want to be transparent too, and share what we can and as much as we can with you guys, but also to, you know, let you guys know that sometimes we might be a little bit late posting things.
Yes.
And like these
and
other
then
things,
on
why.
That note, you may have all noticed that we did take a little bit of a hiatus, and that was because I had to go through all these tests to get the biopsy done. And so all of a sudden this one week I had to go to the hospital a bunch of times for different tests. So we're like, okay, let's just take a break. And then I wasn't feeling well the next week. And so then, yeah, so we ended up taking a couple weeks off, but we're back.
Yay.
And we're always reachable on Instagram if you want to send us a DM.
Yes.
Boo-boo-111.1. And yeah, if you have any stories that you want to share or questions or anything that you want to ask, feel free to send us a DM, and we both manage that account. So it's us that are one of us that's replying to those messages.
Yes, absolutely. We always love to hear feedback and topic requests. We try to do a variety of them. So yeah, if there's anything in particular that you guys want to hear, let us know in a DM. We always love hearing feedback. And other thing we wanted to mention too was we're going to be working on it, but we're going to put in a little application so we can start taking some guest speakers on the podcast as well in the new year. So that's going to be super exciting. But either way, and if anybody's interested, even still, just shoot us a DM and then we can get something over to you, and it's going to be really great. So, and yes, it's always one of us that you'll speak to because we manage it. So it's really good. And again, it's on Instagram, and it's woo-woo-111.1.
Yeah. Just like the name of the podcast.
Exactly. Yes. And you guys can and in case anybody's listening to this, and doesn't know, we also have upload it to YouTube as a vodcast. So that was, I think, Laura Lee's idea, which was really great because we did a Crystal episode and I kept showing them in the camera.
Yeah.
You know, so you can still see us, and sometimes we show things, so it's really cool to have that too.
It's fun. We're trying to figure out a way to make it even easier to upload it to the YouTube channel, but
that's not going 100%. we'll sort it out.
One of these days we'll figure it out. I don't know why I wasn't working today, but anyway, there's a funny blooper episode of us last time, and
you know what, I have to say something. I actually went and happened to check our podcast thing, and that one actually had quite a bit of views.
That doesn't
which I love.
Oh, it's just me laughing when I don't know.
Yeah, no, we're just laughing. Doing, we're like, basically. What's going on?
Like, is this working? Okay. What's happening here? So yeah, check out that blooper. Mm-hmm. You want to laugh along with me or us? It's mostly just laughing. And then this time we didn't even get that far. So we tried it again, and we didn't even get to record any stupid things that we were saying, trying to get it set up. But yeah, it hopefully we'll get it figured out sooner.
We will.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you wanted to add, or do you want me to close off?
No. Yeah, no, that's it.
Okay. So we just wanted to say thank you guys for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Once again, please give us a follow on Instagram at woowoo111.1 and send us your feedback, topic requests, and, you know, if you want to be a podcast guest speaker. And check out our YouTube channel, same name, woowoo111.1. And may the woo
Be with you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear your feedback and any suggestions on future episode topics. You can send us a DM on Instagram at woowoo111.1.
And may the woo be with you.